Every time I had to explain exactly what I had seen when I had to accompany these people alone. I thought I was alone, but this nobleman always knew everything exactly and said when I did something wrong, "Jan, you are lying. Jan, it is not right. Jan, you lied." Then I had to think carefully about what I was saying. So over time I was able to slowly absorb the truth into my soul. I now learned to tell the truth. I was allowed to make a joke somewhere, but it was not allowed to contain a lie. That is how I was taught. Then I said to this nobleman, "Are you satisfied now? Will you give me the violin now?" He said, "You will get a violin, but it does not yet have the finest sound. Only when you have proven yourself even better can you exchange it for a master violin." And I got a violin. He led me into a house where there were many noblemen and people dressed simply. There were many violins on the shelves and on the tables. Now someone came up to me and took a violin and said, "Jan, this is your violin." I tried it out right away. Well, I thought the sound could be a little better, but I knew I had to be happy with it and I tuned it up. So I still had to carry on with all my tasks. But I also kept going back to the big house where I had my place and when I wanted to, I played my violin. I now knew where there were wonderful violins and I had to have one of these wonderful violins. I wanted to tell the truth for this violin. So I set out and said to the nobleman, "You should scold me if I don't tell the truth and you should make it clear to me what I have to do. I will do everything, because I have to have the violin." Yes, I did everything I could. Then the nobleman came to me again and said, "Jan, we're going back to where we were. You can take your violin with you, we'll change it." I said, "Ah. Yes, then I'm now the way you want me to be, then I've become an angel." "No, Jan, you haven't become an angel yet, but for the sake of the violin you want to speak the truth. You know, I have another goal for you. You don't have to speak the truth for the sake of the violin, but for the sake of God." "Ah, yes. Well, first I wanted to play my violin, and then I wanted to play for God and expect to perhaps get an even better violin. So I fulfilled my tasks. It is difficult, difficult for a soul to speak the truth when, as a human being, it has not known the truth all its life." Then, when someone came to me again, I was told, "Yes, one can be somewhat satisfied with you. But you know, the way you live here now will not get you any further. We have cleansed your soul of lying, but the big question will be whether you will not fall victim to this vice again in a new life on earth." Then I said, "Oh, never let me become a human again. I never want to become a human again, because I know that as a human I would lie again. Leave me in the kingdom of heaven, let me be content with my violin, and I will try to support people in good and noble things, as I have now learned." "No," said the nobleman to me, "it cannot go on like this. We have a very valuable violin. I will have it played for you, and you can try it out for yourself. You will receive this violin when you enter a new life on earth and try to be honest and stick to the truth in this life on earth. If you pass this test, if you have lived in the truth, then you will receive this violin." I went back with him to that house, and a very fine nobleman came to me. He took the precious violin and played, and the sounds were so fine and so tender, it was wonderful. He handed me the violin, and I played it, it was wonderful. And I said, "This is my violin." "No, it is not your violin. It can become your violin if you have passed your test." So, full of sadness, I gave him back this beautiful violin, and I was given this great task: enter a new life on earth and prove that you have been purified in the kingdom of God. Yes, the violin was taken away from me again. I do not yet know exactly when my new life on earth will come. But before that I still have a lot of other things to learn. I have now given up this vice of lying, but there is still so much else I have to learn. And only when I have mastered all of this shall I enter into a new life on earth. For now am I trying to fulfill my tasks according to God's will. So I have told you, dear friends, about the beginning of my life in the world beyond. I am still going through the trials, I still do not consider my tasks to be so easy. I have changed my mind, I see things differently than before and I recognize the value of the tasks that are set. But I also recognize the wonderful, loving guidance given to a poor soul. These nobles I have spoken of are, after all, angels of God. At the beginning I did not have this connection, this attachment to them. They were simply nobles to me, but something foreign. The closer connection and friendship only arose when I had put aside my greatest mistakes. Then I made friends with these angels of God, and I know that when I have to return to the new life, they will accompany me, they will strengthen me. But I also know that many temptations will come to me, and I do not know whether I will always speak the truth. That is why I am afraid of entering the new life. Because here as a spirit and with my current knowledge, I only want the truth, but what the world offers people is so much that one is easily tempted and lies. Well, I have spoken to you enough. I have told you a lot, and my other brothers and sisters will explain it to you better. I wish you all the best in life and God's richest blessings. Greetings. Joseph, greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, before you ask me any questions, I have something to say. A new year has begun and I have a lot to say about it. Many of you have entered the new year without having any resolutions. Others have made resolutions. They want to be a little stricter with themselves or a little more honest and also willing to make a sacrifice and be more peaceful. These resolutions have been so varied. But we would like to encourage people not just to make resolutions, but to actually carry them out. It is so important to build up spiritual wealth in human life. That is the wealth that you cannot see. I would like to put it this way, every soul has a so-called pantry, and you have to put what you need into this pantry so that you can draw from it when the hour of passing into the world beyond has come. Then everything opens up to the soul, and so it is good when that pantry opens and this beautiful, good and noble thing comes to light. It is quite clear that the new year brings disappointments and trials for every person. We would therefore like to suggest that you say to yourself at the beginning of the new year, I want to be prepared from the outset to accept so many disappointments, so to speak, to take them into account from the outset. When these disappointments come or rather, you should remember this resolution and act accordingly. You should not get upset, but rather try to decide and think things through calmly. And then you should never forget to look up and ask God and the spiritual world for clarity. If you say from the very beginning, I have also taken disappointments into account in my life, then these disappointments are no longer so great, and that is good for people. That is what everyone should do in this regard. Then we would also like to say to everyone, you have the opportunity to do good to your fellow human beings again and again over the course of the year. And you should put this into practice. You should be good to people. It is so valuable when you correct your mistakes in human life. Instead of being upset, unwilling, dissatisfied, you should think about something and be calm. In this way you put some spiritual wealth into this storehouse, and you cleanse yourself, you cleanse your body and your soul. You should also have an open hand for someone who is in some kind of distress. If you can do this and do it not just because you are told to do it here, but because you do it out of an inner desire, then you will also be given, because if you give, you will also be given, in this or that case. But never give anything out of calculation, but give it out of the goodness of your heart or out of divine love. Then you will be rewarded. I would like to take this opportunity to once again draw the friend's attention to the fact that this community has a fund for distressed, sick people. You were recommended at the time to pay a certain amount into this fund, and I must now once again deal with these material things. I would even recommend setting up a cash register outside the entrance, on the wall, and writing the word welfare on it. I don't want to tell you that you have to give a lot of money. No, but give something every month, and rejoice in your heart that you are helping someone who is in distress, who may be sick or unemployed or who has something else wrong with him, because you never know whether you might be able to get help one day. So, That is something I would like to recommend to my brothers and sisters, and I would also like to say, if there are people who are really in distress, sick people, then they should come forward. You don't have to worry about the money you give them being given to you wrongfully. Anyone who receives money wrongfully is burdening their soul. Those who give it do not burden themselves, and they should not worry about it, because God also gives them in abundance. These are words that I would like to give you especially for the new year. Now I am ready to answer questions as best I can. But first I would like to come back to Brother Jan's comments. Dear friends, you keep meeting people who also have a connection to the world beyond, just like you, but their connection may not be under proper control, or the spirits that people actually need may not come forward. And so people can easily be deceived. There are certainly some among you who have experienced being given some explanation by spirits that was not true, that was a blatant lie. That is why we have chosen for you a spirit who was not malicious in nature, but who was so superficial and so inaccurate and who simply did not mind lying. He said what he liked, he lied as a joke, he simply lied. There are an infinite number of spirits who are prepared to take on a name that they do not have, they pretend to be a spirit that they are not. Yes, you cannot control it, and they laugh about it if you believe it. You should be critical, you should keep checking accordingly, check the spirits to see if they are from God, 1 John 4:1. You should do that. So what I want to say is, it does not have to be malice in a spirit if it lies, it can do it in the way that was shown to you. But there are also very malicious spirits who lie out of malice and create evil because they themselves are evil. Here you have to differentiate. So you have also received an answer through this explanation and it should be an instruction for you. Now you can put your questions to me. Dear Joseph, does the fact that the purification took place on Aridge indicate that these spirits who had to wander here with Jan were not really evil? Joseph, yes, because compare it with today. What you were told about this time of purification was about 300 years ago, but even then there were people who were simply indifferent. They were not malicious in their innermost being. Even today there are many, many people who are not malicious, but who are superficial and powerless. They are not able to overcome and cannot recognize the spiritual, however, they could create much better things with the strength of their soul. It is clear that one deals differently with souls who are not evil in their innermost being than with malicious ones, because one wants to win them over. They are taught with great love, because one wants to give them valuable tasks later. This is the reason why the spirit world of God makes such great efforts and faces these upwardly striving souls with such great love and perseverance. Dear Joseph, because these souls were not evil, were they allowed to enter a more beautiful sphere of purification? Joseph, yes, but you must remember that the path they had to take was not pleasant either. It was very long, and there were many conversations and unpleasantness to be experienced with the others. Because it is not silent when so many beings are there. There is much to complain about, even if these souls are not evil at heart. They cannot find the way, and so it takes a long time. When they have such a long way to go, they become somewhat tired and are then happy when they have reached their destination. They are then more prepared to do what they are told. Did Jan intentionally forget to mention the Christmas season and its special influences? Joseph, yes, you know, dear brother, these are details. If this and that had to be told, a day would hardly be enough. These reports, which are given to you by the ascending brothers and sisters, are summarized in such a way that, let us say, the most valuable things can be told in this limited time. There are still an infinite number of things that could be told. But we attach great importance to explaining what people can learn from. Dear Joseph, Jan's description expressed that vices and bad habits that one had as a human being are carried over into the spiritual world and that there are also difficult to overcome them. Joseph, yes, that is why it is good if one can get rid of these vices here in one's human life. Dear friend Joseph, Jan told us that many souls wanted to climb these steep slopes and did not make it up. Were these souls who were more heavily burdened and did not make it up, Or did they also end up on this high path? Joseph, yes. They also ended up and then they also ended up in a valley like this. May I ask in which country Jan lived? Joseph, don't you have any idea? It could of course be France or Hungary. Hungary is possible, yes. Joseph, yes. Does this drain on the high path have any connection to the travelers who live in that country? Joseph, no. You know, you don't have to imagine it like that. In the spiritual world there is no respect for persons. You tend to show respect to those who have money, who have a special position. You bow down before such a person, and you pass by someone who has nothing or very little. That is human nature. God does not show respect for persons. Of course it is the case that depending on the development of the person or the way he lived, he has burdened himself more or less. For example, a traveler who lied and stole all his life has burdened himself, but he could still have a good heart. There are also different types among them, not all of them have to be burdened in the same way. They are then simply led to where they belong in terms of development. There are rich and poor together. If you listened carefully, you will have heard that there were also people on this ridge who told Jan that they were rich, which was true. Someone who had really been rich in his human life can also say this as a spirit, then he is not lying. He regrets that he was so rich as a person and is now so poor in spirit. Meanwhile the other thought, yes, if he thinks that I have more respect for him if he tells me that he was rich, then I will also say that I was rich. That is what they do. Dear Joseph, it seems to me that these souls had no pity or compassion for the other. Joseph, yes, you know, they are all burdened in the same way and they know that they all have to bear the heavy burden. They have to go this way and perhaps, depending on how the individual feels, they try to cheer the others up a little. That does happen. Not everyone is so unfeeling or does not speak about their suffering, some complain to others. It depends on how the other reacts. This Jan, who spoke to you, was not unhappy about his purification. He simply took pleasure in acting proud. He was not malicious, but he did not know the truth. Dear friend Joseph, Jan has the prospect of getting a wonderful master violin. Is this connected to his talents or to his performance in earthly life? Joseph, yes, I must say, this is connected to his talents, but of course his performance plays a role. If he was promised in the spirit realm that he would get this valuable violin if he had passed life with its great test, then the question is whether the angel world will give him this talent again, which he had in his previous life and then in the spirit realm. It may be possible. The spirit world can let him be born into a family where these genetic traits are present, so that he in turn takes them over from his parents. He himself has this talent within himself, and so there is a whole. The talent can have an effect again. On the other hand, if the spirit world sees any dangers in connection with the exercise of a talent, it can prevent it for one or several earthly lives. There are many talents lying dormant in people. They may only come to light again after proven earthly lives. But they can also only be prevented in earthly life, while they can be expressed in the spirit, that is when the person has left the body. There are various possibilities. I cannot say how it is with this spirit, with Jan, whether this talent will be given back to him. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Jan and questions answered by spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Template, tape recording, next case. February 3, 1960, Albert, consequences of false piety and arrogance. Cast out of the kingdom of heaven and banished to earth to learn humility and modesty. Controlling spirit, the beginning of the audio recording is missing. Dear friends, if you have any questions, we can hold a question and answer session. You have been asked to have questions ready. We know that you would like to have many questions answered, but each of you has his or her own particular interest, and what is interesting and important for one is not for another. For the general public it is only of interest if questions of general importance and not personal questions are asked and discussed. You will also be given the opportunity to ask personal questions. We recognize that there are too few questions of general interest in this hour. But through the explanation that will be given to you by an ascending spirit, questions will arise in you again. They can then be asked, and Brother Joseph will answer them accordingly. So we have asked a spirit to tell you about his early days in the world beyond, because this is also the most interesting and instructive thing for you. You can draw comparisons and you will be taught by it. You can ask questions about anything that is unclear to you. We select these spirits in each case. You should not assume that they are simply allowed in. We consult them in detail beforehand. The first and most rigorous purification is long over for them. They tell you about their early days. We enable them to experience them again in the way they did back then. We have to help them to do this. But we also have to ensure that there are no outbursts, because if a spirit can go back in time, this could easily happen. These entities often report in a somewhat humorous way. It all depends on what was in their innermost being, whether they were malicious or good-natured or indifferent, or how the entity that spoke last was used to going through life boasting quite a lot and behaved like that in the early days in the afterlife too. We want these characteristics to be expressed so that you can see that someone who has returned to the afterlife behaves in exactly the same way as they did when they were on Earth, but their feelings and views are still the same and that they can be taught better. That their feelings become more refined and that they are no longer able to act in the same way later on. We therefore give the spirit in question the opportunity to behave and behave in the same way as they did at the beginning. I must also point out that what is reported is always a summary of a long period of time. We discuss everything with the spirit in question beforehand and indicate to them how they should tell you. This gives you an idea of it. Of course, these spirits who tell you about their experiences are purified and would no longer speak today as they did at the beginning when they came to the afterlife. They also have a completely different view now. But you can hear that for yourself. God bless you this hour. God bless you, Albert. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, I am trying to give you explanations from my early days in the afterlife, to describe to you how I was doing, what my views were. My attitude was exactly the same as when I was human. I would like to tell you about that now. My name is Albert. When I arrived in the spirit realm, my parents greeted me first. But they were in a hurry and they said to me, "Albert, we can only greet you briefly. We have no more time for you because we have to go to our work and cannot neglect it because Uncle Albert is waiting for us." Uncle Albert? Yes. That was my mother's brother and I was baptized with his name. I couldn't even ask why they were in such a hurry with Uncle Albert. I didn't get the chance, they had already said goodbye to me and were gone. Yes, I first looked around and tried to find my way, and here I found my companions. They said they had guided me through life, but they gave no further explanations, and they too said that they had to withdraw now and that I had to find my way myself. Then they showed me the path I was to take. It led into a village. This village was so similar to the villages on Earth that I really had to ask myself whether I had really died, but I had seen my parents, and these companions had also said to me, "You have died now, life goes on. You will find your way, that is, you must find your own way." I have to emphasize that I lived, or at least I believed so, as a very pious person. I had prayed a lot and I was very careful to do everything right, according to God's holy will. However, my will, my wish, came first, and I believed that what was my wish was of course also God's wish. Now I wandered, walked towards this village. I saw many small and large houses and gardens. I don't need to describe it in more detail, it just reminded me too much of a village on Earth. Then I simply turned around because I didn't like it. I thought that maybe I would find something else that I would like better. So I had the opportunity to walk along a river. It was infinitely long and I thought, yes, I'll probably get somewhere one day and something better will show up. At least that's what I thought. And then I saw that on the same path that I was walking, others were doing the same thing. I was disappointed because they paid no attention to me. They didn't pay me any attention, they just went their own way. So I did too. Then, suddenly, someone came towards me whom I knew from my life on Earth. He came straight up to me, greeted me and said, "So, it's nice that you've landed here too. You'll see how life goes on." So I asked him, "Well, how do you like it here?" And he said, "You know, I was a bit disappointed. I thought I would be able to experience a more beautiful heaven." So I replied, "Well, you know, you've always been a hypocrite in your life anyway, so you can't expect anything better." Well, he looked at me wide-eyed and quickly disappeared. He didn't like that I told him that. But I knew it, I knew him well, he was a hypocrite, a real hypocrite. Then I walked on and met a small group. There was another one with whom I had lived, whom I knew. He also came up to me and acted as if he was happy to see me here, and he greeted me. Then I asked him, "How do you like your new home now?" Then he said, "Yes, you know, you have to make great efforts here to make some progress, to get away from here." Then I said, "Yes, I think so, because you were so hypocritical in your life, and you didn't particularly like working. So you shouldn't be surprised that you didn't find what you wanted." He was also astonished that I gave him that answer, and he didn't look at me again and quickly disappeared with the others. I sat down, looked at everyone who was walking this way, and thought about how many people I knew would still come. Then I thought, yes, people were really bad on Earth. They had no piety and no willingness to help, nothing. You always had to get annoyed and tormented with them. They were quarrelsome and dissatisfied. They were all to blame, if they had not found what they wanted. Then I thought, yes, I had to live with them and be annoyed, so to speak, all my life, because they did not have the deep faith that I had. I had often explained it to them and told them that things were only going so badly for them, because they were not living properly and because their bad attitude was bringing the wrath of God on them. Now I had proof of it. I had to live with them again. After all, it was their fault that I now had to live in the same world with them, because if they had been better, I would have found another home. I thought, the others have sinned and made mistakes, and I must bear the guilt with them. That's what I thought. Then I saw two more coming, walking along quite leisurely. They had their hands behind their backs and were busy talking to each other. I saw them coming from a distance and looked at them. They also walked past me without saying a word, and I thought, these two don't even deign to greet me. I had hardly thought this when one of these two turned around, stood in front of me and said, "So, how long do you intend to sunbathe here?" I said to him, "I'll sunbathe as long as I like, sir." And he left. I called him back, "Hey you, come, tell me something. I want to know something." He didn't come back, he went on. I didn't see him again. A long time passed like this and I didn't meet anyone I knew. But then I thought, the road is long and who knows where it will lead. Those who came from the same street, they all have to work. What have they done in their lives on Earth? It is their own fault if they have to work here. I will definitely not work, I will pray. Then I did not think twice, I got up again and went back to the village to take a closer look. The house I was supposed to go to was indicated to me, they would provide me with a room there. Good, I thought, I'll go and have a look. I went into the house. At the entrance I was greeted and said immediately, "You are a newcomer, wait a minute, I will quickly tell you where you belong." And then someone came, took me by the hand, led me into a room and said, "Here, you can live. From here you can go on your walks. You are free. You can go wherever you want." I wanted to talk to him, but he did not listen to me, he had no time. It seemed that he had to lead others to their places. This room that I was in was not particularly beautiful. But what now? I thought, I share the blame with the others. They have led a bad life and they have never prayed to God. Now I have the opportunity here, I will pray quietly and calmly for the others, that God will forgive them. And so I did. I knelt down and prayed that God would forgive them for the sins they had committed, he should forgive them for all their many transgressions and all the vices they had committed. But then I heard a noise and a shouting, and it disturbed my devotion. I stood up and wanted to take a look. When I entered the house, everything had happened so quickly that I could not look at the house properly. When I left my room, I came into a large hall.